Technorama episode 528. You are the solar winds beneath my wings. Who writes this stuff?
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Yeah, where can I find something other than a superhero movie to watch?
Over there, in the media corner.
Beaches.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
I love doing that to Craig.
Wasn't that the song, The Wind Beneath My
Yes.
Wings? Okay, that's what I thought.
I'd say I tied it together this time.
It took me a second. I went, wait, those are related. Yes, they are.
Just to watch Craig go, oh, yeah.
Right.
It's always fun and always worth it. Hey, welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama or watching us on live stream or YouTube or wherever you are, thank you very much for joining us. If you are coming back, thank you. Wow, it we feel like we're back in pace. We've done two weekly shows in a row now.
Yeah, we're on a roll.
I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm great, man. I'm great. Yeah, see, this is what we call in the business a trend.
Two. Two makes a statistical anomaly is what it does.
Right.
We did have to take some time off in late February, early March, but we'll get to that another time. If you meet us in person, let us know. Hey, we have some feedback. This isn't real letters, but we'll play the song anyway.
All right.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day.
Mail every day.
Mail today. Reach right in and pull one out. Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you got to say.
Oh, boy.
Now, mailman, get off my lawn.
I saw a little animated GIF that says, get the F off my lawn. A guy comes out of his house, opens up the door, says, get the F off my lawn. And there's just this guy with this giant letter F and moves aside.
Right. Like my dad's name is Doug, and he's got on this refrigerator the far side where it says, beware of Doug. And there's a guy, you know. And the mailman's looking at the yard, and there's a guy behind the tree. Where Doug?
All right, we had a question for you last week. What was your first memory?
And everybody took it seriously, too.
Yes, I was going with something like the Hitachi 16K RAM upgrade. There were a couple. I'll find the one. You find the ones on Technorama page, and I'll find the one that was shared by me.
Your wonderful wife said last week.
not the best memory. The first.
John Miller Jr. said milk, I guess.
your first memory was milk.
Think about it for a second there, Chuck.
I know.
Okay. I said brushing my teeth this morning.
I can't find mine. Where is it? Brushing your teeth this morning? What do you got? Severe memory problems.
Yeah,
it's so severe. I've been accused of it. Word is amnesia. That's it.
Yeah.
All right. Where is it? It should say. Alive. Where's it go? Question of the week shared by one more comment. Craig says brushing his teeth. Where's my share? I can't find mine. I had some good ones in there too. I lost it. We should have pasted the links into the show notes. Anyway, let's see if I can find it.
Facebook's already purging our data. I guess.
they just hate us.
That's right.
Anyway, let's get back to the video. What were we doing today? Go in what my timeline, Donna says.
Oh.
What's the world coming to when my wife is telling me how to do Facebook?
Open your settings. Happy click delete birthday, Facebook.
Happy birthday. Here we go. No, that's a happy birthday. Jack Mangan says, this question is deep. I have to go deep. Nerdy. I have a good nerdy answer. My first memory is the opening scroll from the original Star Wars 1977. Former coworker Chad says, cassette drive on my Atari 400 was my first read-write memory. The ROMs for it were read-only. Again, with the serious. Jack's wife, Tiffany, says, my first memory is riding on my St. Bernard Sweet Pea's back all throughout my 1979 Oklahomian living room. Well, my father made himself a drink at the bar in our living room. Not nerdy, wow. Sorry.
Don't be sorry. Actually, you know, I think back, really, if I think hard enough, I think there's a couple of things I think of. One of them was we had a crawl space under our house.
Yes.
And I remember being told to go under there so I can help pull the speaker wire.
Because you were the only one small enough.
Well, I don't know. Probably the only one.
Dumb enough?
Yeah, probably. That, or I posted it on Facebook before, is my old Play School computer. I'm using my air quotes. Where you put the cards in the top and you wind the thing and hit the button and it gives you the answer on the other side. It's actually kind of neat. I'm actually curious how it works. So maybe I should go find it on Facebook or YouTube or something. But yeah, that was probably some more interesting memories.
I have some early memories, and they were usually dealing with relative sizes that I was at that age. So in church, you know, you have that little thing that comes down so you can kneel on it.
Mm-hmm.
Called a kneeler.
Yeah.
The kneeler. I remember standing on the kneeler and being barely able to see over the top of the pew in front of me.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, there was another one where we went to Mackinac Island, and I remember having to climb up onto a wall. Later, I went back as an adult, and the wall was about knee height.
Well, I remember it much bigger.
It was much bigger. I had a hard time finding it. I remember the shape and you know, how the top was kind of curved with like a concrete mortar over it. And it was hard to sit on because it was curved on top. But it was hard to find. I looked all over for this wall that was about chest high. It's like, nope.
Oh, this is it. Oh.
What's it doing down there? Someone must have buried it.
Right. All right. Hey, Mike Will says his first geek memory was an Apple IIe.
Oh, I have one over there.
His first outright memory. Yes, right. His first outright memory is his sister in the hospital just after being born. About that.
Wait, who was born, Mike or his sister?
Mike Wills' sister.
It was his younger sister.
My first outright memory is my sister in the hospital just after being born.
It's an ambiguous statement.
His
That's
sister.
Like last night I went looking for an elephant in my pajamas.
No. His sister being born. There you go.
I'm messing with you.
He's even saying yes.
Yes. That's not an answer. It's like, would you like the super salad? Yes. Let's go on to the history thing.
I see this is going to be like pulling on teeth.
This show isn't making any sense, and we're in charge. On this day in history for March 28, 2018, this is the 87th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are a scant 278 days remaining in 2018. It was on this date in 1776 that Juan Bautista de Anza finds the site for the Presidio of San Francisco.
Okay. And March 28, 1802, Heinrich Wilhelm Matthaus Albers discovers two Pallas, the second asteroid ever to be discovered.
Does that mean the first one was one Pallas?
One Pallas,
two right. Pallas, red Pallas, blue Pallas.
Yeah.
It was 108 years ago today that Henri Fabre becomes the first person to fly a seaplane, the Fabre Hydravion. I have no idea if any of this is French, but it took place from a waterway near Martigues, France, I think.
Okay. And on March 28th, 1933, the Imperial Airways biplane city of Liverpool is believed to be the first airliner lost to sabotage when a passenger sets a fire on board.
Sabotage. Wow. Sabotage.
Sabotage.
Also on March 28, 1979, a coolant leak at the Three Mile Island's Unit 2 nuclear reactor outside Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, leads to the core overheating and a partial meltdown. I remember that.
I do too. And it was also 28 years ago today, the United States President George H.W. Bush
posthumously. Have you never encountered this word before?
Awards Jesse Owens the Congressional Medal of Honor.
I don't think you know what that word. I don't think that word means what you think it means.
Yes.
Posthumously. A pot of hummus.
Pot of hummusly. That's right.
Happy birthday goes out on this day to Italian painter and architect and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Raphael, born on this date in 1483.
And Henry Schoolcraft, the American geographer, geologist, and ethnologist, was born 225 years ago today.
He was a what?
Ethnologist.
Ethnologist. Does that mean he studied ethnology?
Ethnicity. Ethnicity.
Joseph Bazalgette, English architect and engineer, designed the Hammersmith Bridge and Battersea Bridge, was born on that same date in 1819.
And born March 28th, 1836, German-American brewer founded the Pabst Brewing Company, Frederick, guessed it, Pabst.
Coors.
Coors.
It was
Miller time.
He was the Bush brother who didn't make it very much.
Yeah. Right.
There was Adolphus Bush and Frederick Pabst. Anyway, Angela Ruiz Robles, Spanish teacher, writer, and inventor, pioneer of the electronic book, was born on the same date in 1895. An electronic book pioneer.
Wait.
Yeah, I know.
In 1890.
She was born in 1895. Which means
I'm
going to
look that one up.
Seriously old when it came. Anyway, keep going before the music runs out.
I need to get in touch with Amazon. They got some patents that are a big question. March 28th. 1899, American businessman Jesse Bush.
Another beer guy.
I know.
Harold Agnew, the American physicist and academic, was born 97 years ago today.
Paul C. Donnelly, American scientist and engineer, was born on the same date in 1923.
German French mathematician. Oh boy, here we go. And theorist Alexander Grothendieck was born 90 years ago today.
American physicist and academic Nobel Prize laureate Jerome Isaac Friedman was born on this date in 1930.
Is he related to... never mind. Dutch physicist and astronaut Wubbo Ockels was born... That's a fun name. 72 years ago today.
And also born on the same date in 1986, American songwriter, dancer, producer, actress, Lady Gaga. She's
32. Born in 1986. I know that. I did the same thing. I went, man, she was coming out with songs about 10 years ago, which means she would have been like in her early 20s, 20, 21, 22. She
was we're no spring chickens anymore.
No. I had that discussion with a friend of mine. Anyway, let's wrap this up. The song is running out. That's the way it was on this day in history for March 28, 2018.
You know, it's funny that kind of what you were alluding to is seeing people that are prominent in this world that have made big changes, and you go, how old is that guy? Uh-huh. Like Mark Zuckerberg, born in 1984. I'm like, what was I doing in 84? Wasn't making Facebook, I can tell you that.
I hadn't even started working on our first bulletin board app.
This is what I look like on my Commodore back in 84. That's probably what I was doing.
Hey, we don't have any birthdays this week on the Technorama birthday calendar, so join us and go. There is nothing. It's bizarre. This is like the one week of the year where there's no birthdays. March 28th.
Wait a minute. Lady Gaga doesn't have an entry on our birthday calendar?
No.
I'm kind of surprised.
No. And I know you're out there listening, Lady G.
Lady G.
Yes, we're on a first name basis.
Right.
So get your name out there. Go over to chuckchat.com/wiki. Where's my wiki title? My videographer is asleep at the wheel, paying attention to Facebook or something. You can go over there to chuckchat.com/wiki and get your name on there. We'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. You know what? The other thing I found was I was going through my calendar. For whatever reason, it was not on the Technorama holidays calendar, but it was on my personal calendar. Not anymore. I fixed it today. It has to be one of the earliest on this day in history listings we have from March 28th, 2007. And yes, Wubble Ockles was on there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, we finally have, oh yeah. I wonder how many we've had actually double up. I guess we've had
several
by now.
In fact, 2011 and 2016, I think we're on the same days. We had a lot of duplicates a year or two ago.
Well, every 7 years.
No, because leap years get in there every 4 years and push things around.
Oh, that's true.
It's an insane cycle. I have here a perpetual calendar on a keychain. Well, it's good for 50 years, so it's not really perpetual.
And when you think of the leap years, huh? I'm just kidding.
We are, speaking of skipping over, we're going to skip over the news stories and go right to Hacks and Strange Stories. Suit you fine?
Suits me fine. Close the door, it's cold.
Yes.
Sorry.
It's all right.
It's not cold, however, if your T-Rex burns down.
Hey, this is I love the sentence. It's nothing I've read before. It says T-Rex catches fire at an amusement park.
Despite the fact that real dinosaurs were rarely on fire.
Yes.
Rarely. Except for that one day 65 million years ago.
When spontaneous combustion and it
really
just
bad.
It was terrible.
Yeah. But they burned really fast. at least the one that were in the neighborhood.
Right.
At first I thought maybe this is the one from Pee-wee's movie, but it didn't look like it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, that's the same first thing I thought of. I went, oh, man, yeah, that's the one Pee-wee sat in the mouth of.
And I love the animated GIF they have on here, too. We're showing it on the live stream, although it's a little jittery, people screaming. The Royal Gorge Dinosaur Experience in Canyon City, Colorado used to have 16 regular T-Rex dinosaur statues. Now it has just 15. Since one of the dinosaurs caught fire this past week, it burned down to a glorious spectacle that was caught on, I love how this is still an expression, caught on tape. I'm sure nobody was there with tape, but they were there with their mobile phones. But it wasn't very scientifically accurate. As we now know, dinosaurs of the late Cretaceous period were rarely on fire. This one has taken the internet by storm, despite its inaccuracies. As you can see from the GIF, we have what looks like such a dinosaur was featured in its latest trailer, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. So they're blending in some of those clips with the dinosaur on fire.
Right.
The electrical fire, thankfully, didn't touch anything in the amusement park beyond the single dinosaur. But it was quite a sight to behold, as you can see from the videos that you can find through the click-through. Now it is just the metal skeleton, which he looks more like he has a clamp head.
Yeah, it's like it looks like Sigourney Weaver was running Aliens with the claw
biomech thing for lifting heavy boxes. As far as we know, this fire isn't a secret viral promotion for Jurassic World: Fallen Kingdom, but a lesser news outlet might call this Jurassic Spark. But we wouldn't sink with someone. Yeah, that definitely needs the sad trombone. Obligatory sad trombone here.
John Miller Jr. said, the T-Rex is quoted as saying, I'm so hot.
That's the one, the hot dinosaur right there.
Oh, our buddy Clinton said those feathers are extremely flammable.
That could be. He was trying to reach the fire extinguisher, but he couldn't with his little T-Rex arms.
Right.
Glass of water. Somebody please, glass of water.
I can't quite pick it up.
Don't bang the mic. All right. Did you watch the video on the next story?
No, absolutely I did not.
Oh, this was interesting. A pastry chef spends 3 days trying to create a gourmet version of Cheetos.
Well, that's defined a gourmet version.
Well, it's one that doesn't come from the factory out of the box. She was making it by hand. Regular Cheeto on the left, gourmet Cheeto on the right, or possibly shrimp tempura. Okay. We'll go with that. We have, if you click through the show notes, a video from Bon Appetit of senior food editor, pastry chef Claire Steffitz's 3-day quest to make a gourmet version of Cheetos from scratch. But just like tipster K. Diddy mentioned, why mess with the perfection? The video is 16 minutes long, so I'd be lying if I watched it. I did watch it all, but I'd skip around and I found it interesting from how she analyzed it. She took the original Cheeto, you know, cut it open, did the texture, the taste, how's it feel in the mouth? Does it, you know, the cheese powder on your fingers if you're eating it, the cheesiness and the spiciness. And then she went and said, okay, what are the ingredients? And she read off all those nasty ingredients that are in Cheetos.
Oh, yeah.
You know, cornmeal and then chemicals. That's about what it sounded like to me. Blah, 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 malto, blah, 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 benzoate, soy, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yellow number 5, orange number 6.
Crikey. Phillips screwdriver number 2. And she started breaking it down and she said, let me first try getting the Cheeto part right. And she said, no, this one's a little soggy. This one's a little oily. Maybe if we put in a dehydrator, we'll bake it here. And wanted to get some of the irregularity shape instead of just piping it into the hot frying oil, which they just flattened out. And you know, then she was on to, it was interesting. I need to add baking powder to do this, and I need to add this other ingredient to do that. It was interesting from, she knew her stuff of what needed adding to tweak the texture or to tweak. It was, she gets to the end and has the full recipe read out to you, what you'll need. And it involved a few fairly expensive pieces of equipment, including a dehydrator, because you need to dehydrate your cheddar cheese. She was throwing these big slabs of cheese in there, and then the oil would separate out. It was funny because she took the dehydrated chunks of cheese that she had sliced and broke them into quarters. So they were, you know, maybe 2 by 2 by 2 by 2 and threw them into the blender. And they just start flying around like chips. You know, they're not really blending or crushing.
Right.
Or doing anything. It's just, so there's some funny scenes in there. Really funny scenes.
I always thought, because they had that crunch and it's almost like a air pockets a little bit if you look at it really close. So I keep thinking that they use something to kind of puff or inject air, you know, like you would.
Well, it depends on which ones you're talking about, the crunchy ones or the puffy ones.
Now the puffy ones, I know that it's got to be puffed.
She was going after the classic crunchy ones.
Yeah, I understand that. I see the picture, but I'm just saying it's still similar. I don't know. I might have to watch it. But
she talks about how she did that, because one of them came out too dense. This thing, probably was like a lead wheel weight at one point.
Break a tooth trying to eat it.
So she added more baking powder, because baking powder is what you add to pancakes, right? To fluff them up a bit.
Yeah. Well, Harrison and I bought at REI some dehydrated cheese.
Yes.
It was like $4. And I went, you know what? I'm curious to see what this is like. And it was almost, it looked like moon rocks, because it was holes, you know, in it.
Yeah.
Just like you'd imagine, or like a porous volcanic rock or something almost. And it had almost a crunch to it because of it was dehydrated. So when you said that about these things, I thought, okay, she's probably onto something with that, because you could dehydrate it and it gives you that little bit of almost a crunch. It wasn't as crunchy as a Cheeto, but it kind of broke apart and stuff. Anyway,
it was an interesting journey. If you're a foodie and you want to try it, just watch this. It's interesting to see what she has to do to add that up.
That's actually an interesting challenge, by the way.
I think it's time for us to take an interesting break.
Why not? Smoke them if you got them.
All right, we'll be back in just a few seconds. The Remember When segment, and a thank you to our patrons, and I think we even have some stuff in the Geek Library, so stick around. We'll be right back.
All right. All right.
Look, at The Weird Show, we don't have the answers. but we sure do love those questions. The Weird Show is a weekly roundup of strange news, odd views, and bizarre ideas, rearranged and packed together with open-mindedness, inquisitiveness, and just a touch of humor, all packed into a one-hour audio podcast that comes out just about every Saturday morning. Get it at theweirdshow.com.
And break out of your normal reality, at least for a little while.
I'm Dr. Robert Ballard, and I'm an explorer in residence for the National Geographic Society and deeply enjoy this program.
I was just watching him on Netflix. He's got a show called Alien Deep. There's one season of it, and he started out, first show, he goes to the new island that's forming off of Hawaii, you know, the next Hawaiian island, and he wanted to
I think I heard about
there.
That.
That was interesting. That was kind of cool. So I'm gonna keep watching that.
Okay,
Alien Deep, I believe it's called. So encourage you to go watch that show.
Is a series over?
I don't know if it's one season, one and done. There were five shows in the first season. That's all I can tell you.
Okay.
All right, let's do the Remember When. We haven't done a Remember When in quite a while. And
I don't know why I get Remember Juan stuck in my head.
Remember Juan? What happened to him?
I don't know.
Let's have a moment of silence to remember Juan.
Oh, by the way, John Miller Jr. says the Cheetos were the remains of Oompa Loompas.
Yes, they were. Everybody knows that.
It's like the what do you call it? The green, where it's people, it's the soil and green.
Soil and green. Okay. Britain's plan to build Cheetos. Let's get back to the news. Well, come on, I'm being serious here.
Okay.
Britain's plan to build a 2,000-foot aircraft carrier almost entirely from ice. Obviously, the engines wouldn't be from ice. But
yeah.
I think we've talked about this on Technorama years and years ago, but in case you forgot, River writes from a report via the BBC, In World War II, Britain was losing the Battle of the Atlantic with German U-boats sinking ship after ship. Enter Project Habakkuk. Habakkuk.
Be careful saying that.
The incredible plan to build an aircraft carrier from ice. The British government wanted a better way of battling German U-boats and needed an aircraft carrier invulnerable to torpedoes and bombas. Inventor Jeffrey Pike came up with the idea using solid blocks of ice strengthened with sawdust, creating a material, pikrete, to build a ship big enough for bombers to land on. Winston Churchill became interested in the plan after Pike pitched it to him. The purpose of the ship was to be 610 meters or 2,013 feet long and weigh 1.8 million tons, considerably larger and heavier than today's biggest ships. It would have a hull armor 12 meters or 40 feet thick. Work on building a proof of concept prototype started at Patricia Lake, Canada, but when it became clear that the finished aircraft carrier would take until 1945 to build and a cost of 10 million pounds.
Wait. Yeah. The accounting guys down below. Guys, stop. This ain't going to work.
The prototype was scuppered.
The accountant's waving them off.
Hitler wasn't the only one pursuing interesting and innovative ideas during the Second World War.
You know, it'd be funny if they take off and they go, okay, you know, what are we going to do? Let's invade South America. And it starts melting by the time they get there.
Well, that's what the sawdust was for, was to give it a little bit of durability.
I know, but that doesn't work with my joke.
Okay. What does work with your joke?
Apparently not you.
Would you care for the next article?
Sure. Let me open it up here.
All 856.
Yes, I'm trying to open the link. So all 856 episodes. Wow, I can't believe it's that many actually.
No kidding.
Of episodes of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood will be on Twitch for the show's 50th anniversary. And full disclosure, I love this man, just saying that. It's always a beautiful day in the neighborhood, even half a century later. PBS is teaming with Twitch once again to stream every episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood in celebration of the show's 50th anniversary, as well as what would have been Fred Rogers' 90th birthday.
Wow.
In a press release, Twitch announced that it will be live streaming all 856 episodes of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Since it's partially to celebrate the birth of the man who brought joy to millions of kids, the live stream will start with the show's 90 greatest episodes, followed by a complete run of the series. This isn't the first time that Twitch has done this. Mm-mm. A similar live stream happened last year as a PBS fundraising event. It won't be raising money this year. Oh, there will be
It's on right now. Did you scroll down?
Yeah.
Look how young he looks.
I know. It's pretty amazing.
Wow.
So this started on the 19th. So they're moving right along. And I know I wanted to post this because I think the world needs a little more Fred Rogers. That's why I wanted to point it out.
Close to 1,200 viewers right now. That's awesome. Yes.
Let's just watch his live stream. Let's go and stop right here.
Stream his live stream over our live stream. Is that how it goes?
Yeah,
he's just exactly. Changing out his shoes. Must be the end of the show. He's going to the dress shoes.
He's a pretty incredible man. There was not only have you seen the video clip of him going in front of Congress to make sure they had funding for the PBS in general and the show that he does. And that's been circulated all over Facebook. But I did not realize he actually was, there was going to be some legislation about videotapes.
Mm-hmm.
And he was instrumental in making sure that there wasn't any copyright stuff placed on the blanks and stuff, because he thought it was important that people could record his show and watch it as a family together later.
Good point.
And I was like, that's pretty cool. I didn't realize he had a hand in that as well.
Neat.
So, yes.
Speaking of having a hand in things, our patrons have a hand in keeping this show going. And we want to give a special shout out to them. Thank you very much, patrons, including Kyle Nishioka, Abner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Megapodtastic, who's one of our newest members, Night Gig Studios, Gary Lindros, John Clifford, Leon, John Noble. That was just the pause, so you could say it yourself.
John Noble?
No. that was the mental pause, so you could hear Ben and Keith say it. Chris MC, Alexis Duran.
That Chris MC?
Saturday Morning Media? Not that Saturday Morning Media. That's going to be his new one. Twitter handle.
Yeah, not that Saturday Morning Media.
Steve Therian and Jorgis Rowan, thank you very much for all of your support and continuing enthusiasm. If you want to be part of our elite group and get special content, we record a show right after this one, just for these people. And it goes out on Monday, and they get it in a special audio feed.
With a little bow on it and a little package, it comes straight to them.
Delivered by drone.
Yeah.
Go to patreon.com/technoramapodcast. If you're watching the live stream, you can see it right there. Right there.
That's how I get all my podcasts delivered by drone. Saying
there's a Technorama sketch in there somewhere, isn't hey, there?
Put that in your book next time, Mr. Podcasting for Dummies.
Put that in your book, Mr. Podcasting for Dummies. Thank you very much to all of our patrons, and we encourage you, for as little as a dollar a show, you can support us. And the cool thing is, if we're not here to produce a show, you don't pay. So all that time we had off in February and March didn't cost our patrons a darn thing.
Oh, we used all your money to take off that time and
buy that Caribbean island. I don't know what reality you've been in.
We're buying that little island that's forming off Hawaii right now.
We're buying Facebook.
Yeah, there's not a check big enough, I don't think.
Where are we? In the Geek Library already? Oh my goodness.
In Burr's Lake.
Wow. We are just cruising along. Here we go.
Here we go. I see the doctor, the TARDIS kind of flipping around when I hear that music.
Yeah, do the old one. All right, from Slashdot, another Slashdot article for you. As the web celebrated its 29th birthday last week.
Oh.
Wait, what? I thought it was 91 or 92. Where did they come with 29?
The web, not the internet. Well, the internet's been around technically for a long time.
Right.
The web viewing things with Mosaic and all that stuff. That's from like around 95.
No, not, it wasn't 1989. I'm going to have to look up the history on this. Maybe 29th is when Tim Berners-Lee proposed something, but there were no browsers and servers around in 89.
No, I didn't say, no. I said anyway. Around. Never mind.
As it celebrated its 29th birthday last week, Berners-Lee expressed disappointment with how his invention has turned out.
Too late to put that genie back in the bottle.
I thought it'd be more fun. He criticizes Facebook and other tech heavyweights last week, saying that they have made it possible to weaponize the web at scale. But on Monday, the British computer scientist essentially told Zuck to buck up. I would say to him, "You can fix it," Berners-Lee tweeted. "It won't be easy, but if you companies work with governments, activists, academics, and web users, we can make sure platforms serve humanity." Tim Berners-Lee writes, "This is a serious moment for the web's future, but I want us to remain hopeful. The problems we see today are bugs in the system. Bugs can cause damage, but bugs are created by people and can be fixed by people." Who's he writing this to?
I don't know, but I tell you what, it's kind of timely that if you look at this, all right, and now today, in the context of Facebook leak or somebody getting all that data from Facebook and analyzing it and making it makes sense.
His short message is, get involved, care about your data. It belongs to you. If we each take a little time we spend using the web to fight for the web, I think we'll be okay. Tell companies and your government representatives that your data and the web matter.
You know, I actually downloaded my Facebook data today.
And
I started sifting through it. I didn't see anything in there that was incredibly shocking.
How much was it? I mean, is that where you download a big zip file and it's got all your pictures and posts and whatnot?
Yeah. So what happened was I made a request and it said, they tell you on the screen, it's going to take a little while. They'll email you a link.
Yes.
To download it. And I downloaded the zip file. It was 383 megs. And
all your pictures?
Yeah, your pictures are in there.
Right, but they're not the original size.
No, I was trying to, I won't pull it up right now. But yeah, I just unzipped it and looked at it. And where is the, Facebook?
You've posted a lot more pictures than me. And I know some of the pictures that I've uploaded are, you know, the full size.
Well, wait a minute. So on Facebook, whenever I posted some of my artistic photography, I never really posted it. I never uploaded those pictures to Facebook. I always shared a link to it, which was in Flickr. But only because early on I was under the misconception that Facebook controlled the data that you posted, that they owned it. And I was like, well, they don't own my pictures. Right. I didn't want to post them there. I didn't do that for a long time. But yeah, the expanded thing, it said size on disk, 400 megs.
The zip file was 400 megs.
Expanded. It was 400 megs.
Interesting. That doesn't seem like they're giving back exactly what you put in.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the pictures. I got to really look into that. But everything's organized. It gives you several folders and gives you an index.htm so that you can navigate through everything and look at it, which it worked. And so they have ads. They talk about the companies that have access to your data.
Did they put ads in your zip file?
No. The ads that maybe I clicked on. And a lot of those are probably by accident, to be honest with you. But they tell you all the ad topics. James Gunn, Linux, first person shooter games. Michio Kaku, Pebble Watch. there's a lot of
more Pebble Watch
keywords that make sense to Actually, it'd be interesting to read all those. Then ad history, and there's a short list of ads that I've clicked on, I guess, which, again, it wasn't very many of them. So, I don't know. It's interesting to see all that stuff in one place.
I'm going to have to go get mine.
Yeah, you should. Everybody should look at it. Because one thing that, not so much is the problem for you, but people that have been using Messenger on Android, if you give Messenger access to your SMS, you know, like you can, I think you actually did that when you first installed it, right?
Yeah.
You set it as your SMS client. Well, they scrape all that stuff and keep it in their database too. Nice. In call history. So it's like, I wanted to see. I didn't see any of that for me.
Okay.
But
have you made Facebook calls yet? Have you used Messenger to call somebody?
Oh yeah, I've done that a few times, but I mean, when you make it your SMS application,
yeah,
you can give it permissions to do that. I did it for just a brief time and that was it. I was just trying it out and I don't know. I didn't see any of that data in there. So I'm gonna go look some more.
Now that you've downloaded everything, you can close out Facebook and call that. Check that off your bucket list.
I don't know. They're making it pretty tempting, to be honest with you. They keep having stories like this. I'd be done with it. I don't know. It's kind of hard because I got family members that's the way they communicate.
That's what I use it for as well. It's the great reconnector for me. I just connected with somebody I worked with almost 30 years ago and we had a great conversation. He pinged me on Friday night, Saturday morning. We were talking for about an hour and 15, 20 minutes and played catch up. And
see, the thing about the service, even Google, you know, it's all ad based. They got to make some money off. You're the product. So they got to make money off, off of you somehow. And, I use the services, like especially at Google. I'm very happy with a lot of the Google products and stuff. So I'm willing to give away a little bit of that freedom to use the products. Didn't cost me anything.
Right.
But then you start asking yourself when you have a big problem like we have with Facebook right now, you start weighing, hey, what's the cost now? You know? So I don't know. I'm not at that point. I'm going to give up Facebook. I still enjoy it to a large degree, so I'm okay, but I'm keeping an eye on that.
Concerned. You know what? Let's save that discussion for our Patreon show. Cause I have some thoughts I want to inject in there.
That was actually what my plan, but
then turn the page.
You got a preview. You get a preview.
To
come later.
Go to our last story.
The last story. So 87-year-old grandma uses Microsoft Paint in a way that would probably surprise even its developers. Ooh.
Do tell.
Okay. So some grandmas spend their time in the garden, some knit, but 87-year-old Conca Garcia Zierra enjoys a hobby that's rather unusual among her friends. She draws using only MS Paint. She's discovered the program after her children gave her a computer, and she hasn't ever looked back since.
She hasn't upgraded either. She's still on Windows 3.1.
I know, right? Yeah. Yeah. That's a whole other issue. Don't tell her that. So my husband fell ill, quoting, this is her speaking, fell ill and she had to take care of him. So I couldn't go out very often. I began to paint little things, first a house, the next day I'd add a mountain. Step by step, I was adding details, and then in the end, the result was a very pretty thing. I have no imagination at all, so I couldn't get inspired I could get inspired from postcards that my husband's used to send me or drawings that I would find and like. She spends about 2 weeks on one piece and focuses intensely on the details.
She does pretty wonderful job. If you're watching them, this they do look like postcards. It's hard to believe this is MS Paint.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you, there's been a few people online. I've seen some pictures from MS Paint, and it's almost like it's almost got a cult following in some circles.
Yeah,
and I've seen a few things. I'm like, wow, somebody did that with paint. So to see her doing this it's pretty amazing that program is you know, still use so much. It's like solitaire. It's the one Windows program to go to. But Paint has a little following, and yeah, she's doing a great job, especially some of the bottom ones, the mountains.
It's really impressive. The statues on the bridge, the whole thing. It's really kind of cool what she's done.
Look at the little house with the wheat fields and everything. It looks great.
I only put about four or five of them on the live stream.
But okay. Go look at the picture. You got some more on there.
Pretty amazing. All right. That takes us to the end. Our question this week, that one with the, what is that, a little cardinal or red faced bird, almost reminds me of a picture that, was it your mom or you painted it? The one that's in your mom's basement house, Donna. Yeah, it reminds me of that. Yeah. Bird on a branch kind of thing. Our question, it is, what conspiracy theory do you actually believe? Or are you asking what, your grammar's a little off on this, Craig. What conspiracy theory?
I did not write the question exactly, but there you go.
Exactly. Here we go. It's a little better now. And I went to top 10 popular American conspiracy theories and just got some ideas. And of course, moon landing is in there. JFK is in there, but there were some other ones in there as well. Like, government is all run by reptiles.
Actually, you know what? A better question is, what conspiracy theory do you or do you not actually believe? How about that?
There's a long list of what I don't believe.
Yeah. So what do you believe?
I don't believe really any of them. I mean, is there a single group that's running, empowering the world? It makes for nice books and movies, but
yes, there is.
No.
We can't talk about it here.
Yeah, right.
It's too open of a public forum.
We're going to change this over to a conspiracy theory show. Craig will be the guy who's for every one of them, and I'm the one who's going to say, you're full of crap.
I believe that podcasts are going to take over the world.
We've been thinking that for about 13 years. It hasn't happened yet.
I'm doing my part, but somebody else has got to pick up the slack too. Come on.
You, me, and Clinton, we're leading the charge.
Right.
Maybe that Star Trek one will finally catch on. Nope, let's try another one.
Yeah.
All right, that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate you giving us your support. If you would like to join our Patreon thing, go over to patreon.com/technorama podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you may have heard a conspiracy theory. You may have heard a false fact in this show that needs correcting. It's quite likely. Give us a call on the listener line. We haven't heard from you in a while. 707-530-2428. We would love to play your audio clip on the show, give you a shout out. If you'd rather do the email thing and, you know, the U.S. area code thing isn't in your dialing directory, you can give us a call or send us an email. Excuse me, technorama@chuckchat.com, or find us on the social internet everywhere you find everything else. Just easiest place to find all those little badges is at our website at chuckchat.com/technorama. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, give us a binary high five, will you, Craig?
101. You can believe in that.
I don't believe in that.
I want to believe.